Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
I was the first, and Bishop, Bishop Page, and he's a friend of mine, this guy's name, but Lister Page, Bishop Lister Page spoke, he was the second speaker, and I'm just excited to be a part of that. But as happened so many times, during the course, after he has spoken, during the course of prayer, and you know, deep can recognize deep, and by that I mean faith can recognize faith, and wisdom recognizes wisdom, and love recognizes love, and he recognized something that the Lord was doing, not on me, but in me. So there were two different times that I remember him laying his hands on me and praying for me. As a matter of fact, Pastor Kaiken now called me this morning and was talking about that. So, and he spoke some things prophetically that I don't talk to Liston the way that I talk to Pastor Kaiken now. He was saying some things that he was so on point that you have to really get control of yourself. And you say, Lord, here we go again. Will you please stop prophesying and just do it? And I mean, that's how you feel sometimes. And I'm really excited for this season. We got a call last week about, we were actually, well, it wasn't we, I was asked, but you know, if I'm asked, then my wife is automatically included in on it, or I'm not in on it. So that's just the way that I am. But I'm just here because the Bible says that we're the two become one flesh. I believe in that. And so we were asked to get on the call. Now, I know Nikki and Trey might remember, but the others of you won't, so let me kind of just set it up for you. We were part of a company, and I'm sure Brick may know because I'm sure Darlene had talked to her before about some things we were doing on the outside, but you guys know we were part of Five Links. The CEO of the company, Craig Jerabak, he's the one that founded the company, and they're still in existence, as a matter of fact, for 15, 16 years now. And so they're still doing well, but he left the company to go on a new venture, to become a part of the company that Darlene and I are part of now, because there's something about his spirit that we just like. I like it. It doesn't necessarily have to be this way, but I like it when a company, begins in prayer, and their relationship with the Lord is important. That makes me more comfortable with what I'm doing business-wise. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all about business, but it makes a difference when that business begins with prayer. Well, Craig was a part of the company that we're part of now up until this past April. And he left because he wanted to start a new venture. So he's beginning a new company. The company's name is called Ascend. And, he has the big, big-time folks that he's looking to bring on board with him to kind of be the foundation of that company and hope that it grows to, like, FiveLinx is now a $120 million company that happened in, I think they grew to that level in less than 7 years. And so that's an amazing feat for a networking company. And we were got a call from Dwayne Eddings that came, him and his wife, that came to visit us and asked us, well, to be, because they're going to officially launch everything on August the 19th. So we're going to be one of the partners in this venture. So we're excited about it. You know, foundationally, whenever you get in something when it's brand new, quite naturally, you know, you're going to reap a lot of the benefits of it. So we are honored that we were asked to be a part of it. It's just six of us. And it's just to be one of those, it's really a big deal. I'm really kind of trying to underplay it, but it's far more of a big deal than you or less. I'm really underplaying this, but to be asked to be a part of something like this, particularly by Craig Jerabek, who's known in the industry as a telecommunications guru, and to be asked, you know, to be on a call with him and Dwayne and three other people, it's just amazing. And, you know, we've been told that actually we're going to have to go to Florida for a meeting with this group to finish the planning and things like that. So it's exciting because as the company grows, everyone that becomes a part of the company will actually be right under us. So we're kind of excited about that. So we thank God for what is really happening to us in this season. We've been praying and believing God for it, and it's kind of nice to see that door is beginning to open, and you know the things that God promised, they're really going to happen. Now I want you to be encouraged, because I know sometimes you struggle and you go through things and you ask God, when is my turn? When is my time going to come? You know, because I don't believe that believers should live a life stressing financially. I do not believe that it's the will of God. I don't believe it's the plan of God. I believe it's the plan of the enemy to make us believe that what God has promised, he's not able to do. But I want to talk today, just for a few minutes, from the book of 1 John, because I like a lot of characters in the Bible, and I can really relate to a lot of them, but there are some that I really relate to more than others. It may be because of how they write, or it may be because of their personality. And there's a couple of people in the Bible that I would say about three people that I really look forward to meeting when I finally get to my eternal home in heaven and talking to them, because I just love their personalities and how they do things. First of all is Peter, and I guess y'all know why me and Trey relate to Peter, because we have some of the same flaws that Peter had. You know, we got a big mouth, we speak at the wrong time, you end up getting ourselves in trouble, you know. Trey knows it. I mean, you know, I'm not calling him out because I'm the same way. I am. I mean, you know, sometimes I speak before I think. And, you know, when you wrong me, I forgive you, but at that moment, it could be trouble for you. But I relate to Peter that way, and I also relate to Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is not one that was talked a lot about in the Word of God, but he was a simple man, and he was a man that had such a loving heart. And even when he and Paul had a disagreement, because John wanted him to come on the missionary journey with them, but John had kind of chumped out on one of the journeys they went on, so Paul didn't feel like he wanted him to go with him. And even when before Paul became Paul and he was Saul, and he was, you know, doing the conversion, you know, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and all of that, knocked him off of the mule, just like God had to knock us off of our mule sometimes to get our attention. And he was blinded, and, you know, he went to the home of, what was the guy's name? Ananias. He went to the home of Ananias. He laid hands on him. He received his sight. But he then gave him instructions. And he told him to reach out to Saul. And Ananias kind of like, I mean, that's just like asking one of us to go call somebody from ISIS. You're like, no, I'm not going to do that. So, you know, he had kind of a little problem with that, but it was Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that told the other disciples to reach out to Paul and bring him in as one of the brothers. So, he had such a good heart. And I can't wait to really talk to him, because he's not mentioned very often in the Bible, but it's just his heart that really impressed me. And the other is my namesake, John. Now, there, you know, we have four synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all have different meanings. They all write differently. They all have a different message to convey. But it was John, really, that you can tell by his message that, now, y'all know I'm just a softy. I mean, you know, I'm known in our business as the love pastor. I mean, no, that's how they recognize me, because I just got such a soft heart. And I've always been the type, you know, that I used to try to be a player, but I fall in love with the girl I was trying to play. I'm telling you that it happened every single time. I'm serious. Every single time I said, yeah, I'm going to, yeah, what's up? You know, I ended up falling in love. So I stopped doing that because I realized, you know, where my heart is. I just have to be who I am. And that's how John is. John was different than some of the other apostles, because the Bible describes him as the apostle that Jesus loved. Now, I think what a testament. I mean, you know, seriously, and then he just so happened to be my namesake. But I think that's an amazing testimony to have, particularly something that the Lord said about you, the apostle. And that wasn't just John, but someone else said that the apostle that Jesus loved. He was recognized as laying his head on the breast of Jesus. So there was something about him. I mean, he wasn't just impressed with his power, which he had. Wasn't just impressed with his authority, which he certainly had. But there was something about him that he saw that the other disciples didn't see. And I believe right now, that's why Darlene picked me over some of the other knuckleheads that might have been trying to creep in, because, I mean, they may have had Brittany more money, better cars, but they could not love the way that John Baysmore could love, and she just could not resist. I'm kidding, guys, but no, I'm really not kidding, but I am. But I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed by John because of this, because there's something about him, and I'm going to read some of the things that he wrote from the book of John, the Gospel of John, not the Epistle. I'm going to read from verse 1 through probably verse 12, chapter 1. But I want you to hear what he's saying, because now, in some of the other Gospels, they wrote about him. Matthew immediately talked about the lineage of Jesus, where he came from on this earth, and Luke, as the physician, he was more concerned with some of the miracles that he performed, because he performed many. And Mark was the gospel that they said is the gospel for everybody, because he wrote basically to the Jews, but his gospel was focused on a lot of the Gentiles as well. But John was one that focused on the heart of Jesus and who he really was. And listen to this. I just want to read it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I want y'all to follow this and listen to what he's saying. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He was the source of life. And the life was the light of men. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's how I know my calling. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. So it's amazing. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they talk about another person. Now, Donna's been in our ministry now for a couple of years. And now, I know about Donna based on what I see, based on, you know, her time being around us, and based on our friendship. But now, I don't know what other people might say about Donna, because I'm not in that inner circle. Now, some of the ones that read that were, you know, kind of on the outs with Jesus, they couldn't give a perspective like John could, because he was He was a part of the inner circle. So now, the closer you are to a person, the more you're going to know about that person.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. Now, I know that, and that, you know, please forgive me because I don't mean to put you out there because I know you're visiting for the first time, Brittany. But now, I've not been knowing her, but I've been watching her for a long time because Darlene and her were co-partners at their branch together. And I knew of her because of the things that Darlene would say about her. She'd talk about her efficiency and, I mean, her knowledge and her wisdom and her dedication. And she comes in early, she stays late. So she sounds just like Darlene. So it was kind of easy to relate to that. So I had never really met her, but I felt like I already knew her. And this is what John is trying to do. Though some of you may not know him personally, he's trying to introduce to the world his perspective of who this man is, because he didn't write like everybody else. He wanted you to know not just that he was the son of Mary and Joseph, but he wanted the world to know, you know, where he originally came from. I mean, all about him. And, you know, he is that one that was from the very beginning. And I know this messed up some people's theology in that day, Lisa, because, I mean, let's face it, for somebody to walk around, can you imagine? I mean, imagine that Jesus had, I think, a count of some 7 or 8 brothers and sisters. So, I mean, can you imagine him being the oldest? Now, y'all know that he was a carpenter, is that right?
Yes.
Am I right? Was he a carpenter?
Yes.
So his dad was a carpenter. So normally if you look at how families go, you end up, most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, you end up doing what your daddy was doing. And you want to know how the evidence of that? My father was a pastor. What am I now? I'm the very thing that I swore I would never be. I'm a pastor. But this is how it works. So now, he was known as, you know, the son of Mary and Joseph. But he had brothers and sisters, Donna. So now I want you to understand. Now, Jesus, from the time that he was 12 years old and he went to, what do they call the thing when they turn 12, Ruth, and they go to that, the... What is it?
The bar
mitzvah. Bar mitzvah, yeah. So I know, right, Ruth? So he went to that, and so at that point he was considered to be a man. So, you know, when he was 12, he went into the temple, and he began to talk to some of the grown men there that had been, you know, in that way, in the way of Judaism and in the way of knowing the Torah for a long, long time. And he was speaking to them so intelligently that the Bible says that these men were amazed. So it kind of shows you the humanity of Jesus. But now John takes it to another level. He says this: in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I want you to keep your fingers down and go to the Epistle of John that's just before the book of Revelation. And I want you to go 1 John chapter 5. I want to read something to you because now the Bible says, out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. So now, John wrote the Gospel, and he also wrote the Epistle, but he gave more insight in the Epistle of John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, as to his relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Listen to what he said. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit. That in your Bibles there should be a large S. Is that right? That means they're talking about the Holy Spirit. So these are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, the water, which symbolizes baptism, and the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, what? There is no remission of sin. So now, he's given a full description of who this man Jesus really is. Because if you're going to follow somebody, you got to know who he is. Where did he come from? Did he just come from Mary and Joseph? No. Again, let's read it. In the beginning was the Word. In heaven, listen, I want y'all to get this. Everybody in here, your original destination was from eternity. You didn't just start when your dad planted a seed in your mom and you arrived on earth. No, you were somewhere before you got here. Have you ever been standing in the house and you're about to do something and you feel like, done this before. Have you ever gotten to call it deja vu? Well, it's because that we are so connected to eternity that sometimes you get flashbacks of where you really came from. Because you didn't really come from earth, you really came from heaven. We are here on earth for a reason. Listen, if you were born in this time frame, that means, Lisa, though you may not see it or understand it, there is you are created by God. You were not only created, you were made, which means you were implanted in your mother's womb because God has a purpose for your life. That means there's something inside of Lisa that can't nobody else do but Lisa. So whenever you feel like you're not special, you got to understand this. You are created because earth needs you here right now. You got to get this. You have a purpose on this earth. You may not feel like it. You may, just like I do sometimes, you may get totally confused. You may wonder, what is life all about? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why am I here? What is life all about? I want you to fully understand this. You were created in this Kairos moment. The Bible talks about it in the book of Acts chapter 17. It says this. God knows the bounds of our habitations. That means he knows where you were going to live before you got here. He knew, Lisa, that you were going to be in this area before you got here, before he created you, before time began. Y'all better get excited about this because that means you are special in the eyes of God. Amen. How many of you sometimes just don't feel special at all?
Amen.
Anybody besides me, I admit it. Yeah. Now, I know y'all like the front, but I admit it. I mean, sometimes I just don't feel special. I'm sure you ever feel like that. You just don't feel special at all. You just wonder, why am I here? What is this life all about? I mean, how does my life on this earth make a difference to anybody? Let me tell you something. Until, and I pray that this happens, because there's only one way that you're going to find out fully, you know, what your life is all about, is if you receive the Lord Jesus and you get to eternity. But if that does happen, you're going to see lives that you have impacted that you have no idea about. Small things that you might say to people in the bank that you might think it's no big deal, but somehow that little word, my God can use that word to begin a transformation in somebody's life and begin to turn their lives around.
Yeah,
so don't ever, the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings.
Yeah,
because the things that you are doing right now, you may not see the impact, but I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life.
Yeah.
So who is this man, Jesus? It says, all things were made by him. Now, this really, I get so excited. I do church. When I read this, I get excited because it really, if you did not know by reading Genesis, Exodus, or Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Joseph, Ruth, right on down the line, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, or Paul's epistles, if you did not really get a true picture of who this man Jesus is, John gives an amazing, because his heart was really moved by Jesus. I believe that Jesus touched him in a way that many of his disciples were not touched, because he knew John had to write this gospel, because one day, you know, July the 31st, 2016, John Bazemore would be standing here telling you about who this man Jesus really is.
Yeah, yeah.
In him was he, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that tells me that not only did he come from eternity, but he was the Word. So now the Word was not made. The Word always was, always is. So when the Word and the Holy Spirit is mentioned with the Father, it means they're co-equal in power and wisdom. That means that Jesus is as much God as the Father is. Why? Because he came out of him. He's his only begotten Son.
Yeah.
The disciples said one time, because he was saying some things that they didn't understand it, and I believe it was Thomas that said, listen, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. You know what his response was? Have I been with you so long, and you didn't recognize me?
Wow.
Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Amen.
Do y'all get this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a said. Jesus said, I want to read this to you. Now listen to this. In every chapter, Jesus' deity is revealed. And John underscores Jesus' true identity through the titles he is given. Now listen. Word, only begotten, Lamb of God, Son of God, true bread, life, resurrection, and the vine. And the formula is I am. Now, I want y'all to get this. When he was preaching one time, the Pharisees came to him and they challenged him, you know, his identity and who he really was. So they were talking about Abraham. They said, well, Abraham is really our father. And Jesus responded by saying, or let me say, the Word responded by saying, Abraham desired. Now listen to this. I can see him standing there now, Lisa. Abraham desired to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. They looked at him because Jesus said he was about 32 at this time. So they're going to say, you're not even 50 years old and you're going to tell us about Abraham. And Jesus responded by saying, before Abraham was, I am. Now that would completely mess your theology up. Now if you want to mess up theology, I'm sure that would do it. But now you got to understand, he said before Abraham was, the same I am in Greek is the same I am that was used in Genesis when the Word was talking to Moses. When Moses said, who shall I tell the Israelites sent me? He said, tell them what? I am that I am. So Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life. Before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
My God. So this is the type of Jesus that we're serving. We're serving a man, not only a man, but here's what I want you to get. When the Bible says the Word became flesh, there's a reason for that. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they created, Lisa, a legal problem. See, most of us think about the, you know, creating mankind and, you know, and Adam sin and, you know, they needed the blood. But no. Here's what happened. There was a legal issue that the enemy, Satan, was holding God, the Father, to. Because here's what happened. They got kicked out of heaven because they rebelled against God. Now, sin is considered rebellion against the will and the way of God. That's what sin is. So now, if Satan was held accountable, he made sure that when he had access to heaven, he brought up, no, this man sinned and he deserves to die. This is a legal issue and I'm going to hold you to this. You got to, there's no way now you can have fellowship with them the way that you used to. So now, there was a legal problem. So now, I want you to also understand, in the beginning, when Satan was talking to the Father, the Word was standing there with him. And when they thought there was no way, Jesus raised his hand and said, I'll become a man. I'll solve this problem. Wow. You got to get this. He was standing right there because there was a legal problem in the courts of heaven. And somebody had to, I'm feeling this. Somebody had to pay the price for what Adam and Eve did. Now, here's what he needed to do. It was not enough, Donna, for him just to shed his blood. See, that removes our sins. That means the things that we do every day. That's not our problem. You know, adultery and fornication and lying and stealing, those are sins. Those are things we do. The legal problem was our sin. That, you know, plural, S-I-N. The thing, that is the thing that separated us from God. That was the legal issue. The right to come into the presence of God again. So now, Jesus not only died, it was not good enough for him to die for our sins. Because Satan was right there saying, no, justice was crying for blood. Of course, we know mercy was pleading for life. So here's what had to happen. He said, no, that's not good enough. Yeah, I know. Because the Bible says, because y'all say, well, Pastor, it hadn't happened yet. Well, yes, it had. Because the Bible says that the Lamb in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So they saw this thing happening already. And he was saying, justice was saying, that's not good enough. Doesn't pay the price. Doesn't pay. That forgives sins. But what about this sin that separates? I wish I had a marker. I would show you. Let me tell you this. On the cross. Now, we see the cross. Anybody have a cross? Anybody got a cross on there? Sure, you got one? Okay, no, don't take it off. Don't take it. Yeah, take it off.
Yeah, she should know me by now.
I want to show y'all. I want to. If I had to, and I started to bring my markers today. I'm like, huh? No. Is it permanent? Because if it's permanent, I don't want to write on the board. Because those permanent markers not been gone. But hey, now this is good enough. This is a cross. Now, y'all can see this, right? Can y'all see this cross?
Yeah.
Now, blood was what we needed for our sins, but there is a legal problem that the blood couldn't rectify, and that was, how does this sin problem get solved? What brings us back into fellowship? Because now, I want y'all to see this. On this side right here represents God. God is always on the side of right. The right side represents God. On the left side of the cross represents man. Now, in the middle was sin separating God from man. So the only way that sin, the sin problem, could be reconciled, he not only Lisa had to die for our sins, the Bible says he had to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So when he was on the cross and he died, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, the Father turned his back on his only Son. Now, people try to say, Trey, that Jesus was suffering because of the nails that they put in there. I mean, not the nails, but the sword that they pierced him in his side, and the nails that was in his hands and his feet, and the cat of nine tails that they used to rip his skin apart. Yes, that was a part of it. But the real problem was, here's the real problem. From times eternal, he had never been separated from his Father. And it was more than he could bear to have his Father for the first time turn his back on the Word. Because you got to understand, the Word is the voice of the Father. So when the Father speaks, it's the Word of God that's coming out of his mouth. But the Father turned his back on him, not because he died for our sin, but he became sin. And when he became sin, God separates us from sin. He had to separate himself from that unholiness. And that's why Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? Because he was going through, he was experiencing something that he had never experienced before. Total rejection and isolation from his Father. Can you imagine that? But then it didn't end there, Lisa. Not only did he have to become sin, and the demons which we could not see, and the soldiers could not see, and the disciples could not see, they were surrounding that cross, and they were tormenting him. And then he died and had to go down in hell. And they tormented him in hell. For 3 days, but thank God on the third day, the Father said, enough!
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
On the third day, he got up. But sure, he didn't just get up. He went over to that rude devil who had the keys of death and hell, took them and snatched them out of his hand.
Yeah.
Put them in his pocket, that they belong to me.
Yeah.
And that's why we are fellowshipping with God again.
Yeah.
And then to top all of that off, when he left, he said this, I'm going to prepare. This man is strong. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also.
Yeah.
So this is the Jesus that we're so excited about.
Yeah.
We're excited because a price had to be paid. You know what? Ruth knows this in the Old Testament. They would kill lambs. And the lamb had to be unspotted. It's the same unspotted lamb that they had to kill, spread the blood over the doorpost. And they recognize this as a memorial every year. You know, when the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, the death angel came. Everybody died, but the ones whose blood was across the door. Now, I want you to get this. If you put blood across the door, isn't that just like having a cross there and he hung on it? Which it was really symbolizing before it happened what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, I've talked about the sacrifice, but it does say this in the book of Hebrews. For by one sacrifice, get this guys, for by one sacrifice, why did it say that? Because in the Old Testament, they had to do it over and over and over.
Yeah.
The priest had to stand there in his garments, and they had to bring an unspotted lamb. They bring him to the brazen altar. They would kill the lamb. The blood would be shed. You know, the priest, they had a brazen laver that he had to wash his hands in. Now, the purpose was not just to keep his hands clean, but the priest had to see his own need to be cleansed, because the brazen laver
to be cleansed. They all get to see. Everything was a picture of what Jesus did for us. And now, because he died, we are not just going to heaven. The Bible says that we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ. Right now. Not going to happen in the future. Right now. Not going to happen at the rapture. Right now. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My God. You got to be brain dead not to get this. I mean, something got to be seriously wrong with you. I need to stop preaching that prayer for you right now. If you can't get this. This is an amazing thing that he did. You've got to understand, the creator of everything. He is the creator of all things. Now, I want you to get how they work together. This is what's amazing. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, or the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering. Y'all ever see a helicopter? A plane can't do that. Y'all know that? A plane has to go, it has to get speed, it has to take off. But now, a helicopter, it can just lift. My God, that makes me think about the rapture. We're not going to have to get on the runway and take off. We're not going to lift. Oh, my God. Just out of here. But the Spirit of God was hovering upon the waters. Now, the Father was in heaven giving the command, and Jesus, the Word, was the one that created all things. So now, he has good taste. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But seriously, he had good taste because he created this earth. Now, it's not like it was, like it is now, but when he created it, it was absolutely beautiful. He's going to restore it back to its original state, and he's going to give it, he's going to present it to his bride. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm his bride. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I said to y'all a few weeks ago, that is exactly what a Jewish man would say to a Jewish woman who was betrothed. That was part of the ceremony. I go to prepare a place for you. So why did he say that to the disciples? Because he knew that they would understand what he meant. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So we got reason to be excited. See, I want you to leave here today and say, man, I serve Jesus. What's your problem? Oh, come on, man. You know, I look at the world and everybody roots is willing to say God, but they got this problem with Jesus. And I said, well, can you say it? Yes, you are. That's his name. That's what he was calling that day. It wasn't called Jesus. He was called Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Nobody is Yeshua, but yes, you are.
Yeah.
Y'all get that? The little playing words. Y'all slow.
No.
Yes, but Yeshua. Now, that day he was known as Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah. That's who he is. He is the Messiah of God. He is the anointed one of God. He is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. That's why he said to Thomas, have I been with you so long that you not recognize who I am? What did Thomas say? Show us the Father and I'll be satisfied. And Jesus said, dude, seriously, have I been with you this long that you not recognize who I am?
Yes.
This is the one that we serve.
Yes.
Do y'all get this? You don't have any reason to back down.
Yes.
I proudly announce that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I proudly say that I'm a Bible-toting, Holy Ghost speaking, shouting, tongue-waving, child of God. Nothing to be ashamed of. You should be ashamed that you're going to hell. I ain't going there. Nothing, nobody. You know, see, y'all get the good gospel. When I was growing up, Rick, these preachers used to preach, you're going, holiness or hell. You'd be like, what do I mean? Okay. You'd be shook. But there's another part of that gospel. There's another part of the gospel. But at the end of the day, you know, only the righteous shall see God. Only the, what does righteous mean? Those that are in right standing with him. That's what righteousness. Righteousness is not people that do good stuff. Because listen, your righteousness is like what?
Filthy
rags. It's not acceptable. You can do all the good things. Because I hear sometimes people say, well, I go to church and I think I'm a good person. Not good enough. Because your righteousness is not legally good enough to bring you back into fellowship with God. The only thing legally that can bring you back into fellowship is you to accept the finished work that's already been done on your behalf. So y'all get this?
Yes.
I used to teach like this when I was in the corporate world. I used to love this stuff. They'd be like, here you go. I would go. Somehow the word always comes out. I'm telling you, when I was in Georgia in the corporate world, I was a trainer for Days and Days of America. And I talk about a positive thinking, a possibility thinking, and all these things, you know, the things that you had to do, but somehow I get get that word in there, at least I get it in there every single time. Because it's in me.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's in me.
Yes.
You want to know what a person is really like, listen to what comes out of their mouth.
Uh-huh.
Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what?
The
mouth will speak. So, you know, I don't have to be around it. All I got to do is to listen to what comes out of your mouth. Because some people are always saying, well, you know what? You know, and I'm with all that. They just make me. No, don't say that stuff. I was like, who was that we were around? Her stepdad, Pete. We're at the restaurant. And we sat down, we had sat down 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes. Oh, I don't know, John. I don't know. This is, I'm not doing good, and I'm not. I said, Pete, stop.
Yeah.
I did. Didn't I? I said, stop. You have to stop doing it. I was serious.
Right.
I said, you have to stop doing that. You know, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
You know, you are snared by what? The words of your mouth. So the things that you allow to come out of your mouth. Listen, you can have good things or you can have bad things. Whatever you choose to say.
Yeah, right.
See how quick that was?
Yeah, that was good. Amen.
You can have good things or you can have bad things. Whatever you choose to say.
Yeah,
so now, James, the brother of Jesus, and can you imagine being the family of Jesus, Nikki? I mean, imagine how they must have felt. I kind of sympathize with them. I do. I know. You know why? Because, you know, when I was coming up, I think I went into ministry at either 23 or 24. So I'm 64 now, so that's a long time ago. But I still remember my brother and sister. You know, I would come to, you know, come around them. Maybe, shh, come join. That bothered me. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, I'm your brother. I'm John. I mean, it bothered me that I'm talking about a man sitting around John. I'm not your God. I'm not your judge. I'm your brother. I love you. I'm just good. You know, love me back. Then, no, we can't be like that around John. I'm so glad now that they're saved.
Yeah.
But can you imagine the brothers and sisters of Jesus? Here he is, the head of the household. His father, Joseph, died, so now he's the head of the household. He is the one that was in charge of the family business. And the man that's in charge of the business of bringing money in your house is walking around telling people that he's the son of God. I can imagine they felt a little some kind of way. I can imagine that, because it wasn't good for family business. But you know what? On the day of Pentecost, Mary, his brothers and sisters, and some other disciples were in the upper room. And they began to have a language and a conversation like they had never had before. And if you will stay in the Lord and stay attached to the things of the Lord, God will answer your prayers. I'm telling you, he will do amazing. Now, the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season. Now, for those of you that was in Patterson with me last week, you know what due season is. It's the change zone. It's the zone where you have to give the baton off to somebody else, but you got a certain amount of time to do it. If you don't do it in that certain amount of time, you miss your season. So don't miss your. You have not. God has not forgotten about you. Some of you have just missed your season. But the good news is, Ruth, another season is coming.
Amen.
Another Brit, another season is coming. Corbin, another season is coming.
Yeah.
So are y'all excited today?
Amen.
Let's give God some praise.